shine for. You dwells between the cherubim, shine for. You dwells between the cherubim, shine for. You dwells between the cherubim, shine for.
Today we are going to be talking about understanding the blessing. So bear with me, I'm teaching today, not preaching. So we're going to be going through scriptures, understanding the blessing. There's a reason why we call it the blessing. Amen. The blessing, because it is one blessing. Amen. It is one blessing. So the Lord will help us this morning as we begin to teach the blessing. At the end of this morning, I'm trusting God to so impact us that it will be clear what the blessing is. Amen. I was actually amazed in China of the development that has happened in that nation. The beauty of the cities, the high rises and everything. But, you know, in my heart of hearts, I let those things go. I was looking at all the cities. I can show you pictures. It's actually one of the most beautiful cities on earth, Shanghai. When you see a high-rise building, one whole side of the high-rise is a TV. Amazing. The lighting, the everything is just incredible. But I was not thinking to myself, if 10 years ago I came to this city, my feelings would have been different. Because I came into this city, I saw all of those lights and I didn't feel anything. I was just absolutely dead to it. No, talk about it, I don't know if you can. You understand? I just came in there. It was nothing to me. They put me in a hotel on 27th floor. I could see the whole city before me. It was nothing. It was zero. It was nothing to me. I didn't feel any feeling concerning it. That's when I now knew that this God is real. This thing is real. That what God is doing in my heart is real. To be able to look upon all those beauty and all the glory of the world and just look at it as nothing. It means that my heart is beginning to register with something that is better than what I am seeing. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And this morning, the ministration is about that thing. Amen. Amen. That thing. There is something that is better than all the glories of this world. There is something that is better than all the glories of this world. There is something. There's a fun fact I learned in China that Shanghai actually has more money. The Shanghai Stock Exchange has more money than New York. Everybody thinks that New York Stock Exchange is where all the money is passing through. But there's more money in that place than New York. Right? And you can see it. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be talking about understanding the blessing. I feel so blessed in my life. Amen. Understanding the blessing. Understanding the blessing. Amen. Amen. Good morning, sir. Good morning. Good to see you, sir. Very good to see everybody. I'm so glad to be here again. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll be reading from verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. There's a reason why I'm reading verse 1. That's not really where I'm going. I just want to show us something quickly. Paul, Who is Paul? Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So he wasn't an apostle by flesh and blood. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Amen. What does that mean, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God? It means he wasn't ordained an apostle by any man. It was by the will of God. Amen. He wasn't nobody anointed Paul. You know, the Father today, lay hands on Paul and say, you're an apostle. He was anointed directly from Jesus by the will of God. He says, that's why he says, I conferred not with flesh and blood. I went about preaching the gospel. Amen. Why? Why is that important? Some of us will look at me, look at Jeff, look at Femi, look at Bukumi and say, who anointed you to be teaching? Amen. Where were you? Have you ordained a pastor? Nobody ordained me. I am teaching by the will of God. Amen. The will of God is the one that orchestrated this ministry and this teaching. And the evidence that is the will of God is the dosage of the teaching. Amen. The impact of the teaching and the concentration of the teaching is the evidence. Amen. That's the evidence of the calling. It was the same evidence of the calling upon Paul. Paul taught and taught and taught that he got to a point that Peter had to acknowledge that this man, this grace of God is upon you. You know, initially they didn't like Paul because Paul was murdering Christians, killing Christians. So even though they agreed that he has converted, they still had some things against Paul in their hearts. Amen. So this man has been killing us, oppressing us. So how can he now be an apostle like one of us? So they still had some things about him, against him. So, but after some time, because of the evidence of the teaching, amen. Because of the evidence of the teaching, they saw the grace of God upon Paul. And they now say, okay, you go to the Gentiles. Then Peter, when he was now speaking his epistles, began to say concerning Paul, that those things that Paul speaks about, that are hard to understand, that they, which are ignorant, just dismiss it, not knowing that they are dismissing salvation. That's what Peter began to say concerning Paul. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So, Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ by whom? By the will of God. Amen. He was now writing to whom? Who was he writing to? He was writing to the saints which are Ephesus. So he was writing to the church in Ephesus, but not only the church. Who else? And to the faithful in Jesus Christ. Amen. So the whole book of Ephesians was for the church of Ephesus, meaning born again believers, and who else? And all other believers. Anybody who is called faithful in Jesus Christ. You get me? Amen. So now, if he was writing to born again believers, when he began to say in verse 16, 17, right, whereof also after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Who was he writing to? Amen. He was writing to believers, born again, tongue speaking believers. Amen. So that people will not mix it up. You know, people will say, I'm born again, I don't need to do it. What is it, Paul? Oh, I'm ready, my eyes of my understanding. No, they are not. If he's saying to faithful people in church that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, it means what was happening to them before? The eyes of their understanding was darkened. Amen? So, now look at the procession. He was writing to the church of Ephesus and the faithful in Jesus. Later on, in verse... It was speaking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Verse 13, he talked about him in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed. So, This Ephesians chapter 1 began to talk about the procession, right? So first you believe. What happened after you believed? You were sealed with that Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit of promise. Are you with me? I just want to show, this is not a message, I just want to show us something very clearly. So what's the first thing that happens? You believe. The next thing that happens is that you are sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. Amen? And some of the evidences that a man is sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise is that the man begins to speak in tongues. Amen? That's one of the evidences. So even speaking in tongues doesn't mean that you have been enlightened. So you can speak in tongues, and yet the eyes of your understanding, do you get it, Faye? Is still darkened. Amen? Amen? Even though you are speaking in tongues for 4 hours, your eyes of your understanding can still be darkened. Now, even after you receive the Holy Spirit of promise and you begin to speak in tongues, the next level is that wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints. So you can be believing in Jesus and loving the saints and doing service. And yet, what happens to the eyes of your understanding? Is still darkened. Are you with me? Amen. So it means that you can be a pastor, believing in Jesus, showing love. Love is service, right? Part of love is service. Being a deacon, you can be a minister. You can be an evangelical leader. You can even be a prophet or call yourself an apostle, speaking in tongues for hours. But it's still possible that the eyes of your understanding is darkened. Amen. Because what caused Paul to begin to pray for this church? It wasn't just that they were born again. It was that after I heard of your faith in Jesus and what? And your love for all the saints. It was after I heard of these things that I now began to pray. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, there are 2 points where heavy prayer is needed in a man's life. I'm sure many of us have watched maybe Redeem Camp before, when the admins and GO calls for clarion call for people to give their life to Christ. Not so. And you see people begin to rush. Hundreds of people begin to rush towards the altar. Do you know in every of those Redeem Camps, there are people who are praying overnight, interceding. Amen? Praying and interceding for what? For people to be saved. So that's the first, that foundational salvation is so important that people have to pray for you to be saved. Some of us, our parents have to pray over our heads for us to be saved. I remember the testimony of Pastor Ayo. He says that his mother would be praying for him even when he was still in the world for him to be saved. So it took prayer for many of us to be saved. Intercessory prayers from somebody for us to be saved. Amen. The second place where prayer is needed. Amen. It took prayer for the salvation of your spirit. It will also take prayer for the enlightenment of your soul. Amen. For you to begin the process of the salvation of your soul. Amen. So just as it took prayer to cause many to begin to give their life to Christ, Paul now says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. It took prayer again to cause darkness to turn to light in your soul. Another kind of prayer. Are you with me? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. It took prayer. Paul, an apostle, had to pray for the church, for them to come into light. Why? Because the first time that they got born again, to get born again is a lot of hard work. Say, I've arrived. I will make heaven. I'm okay now. Amen. It's not easy to get a man born again. It's a hard work. It took intercession. It took prayer. That's why many of us still have siblings that are not yet born again, or relations that are not yet born again. We've been praying for them. We've been trying to talk to them. It appears as though they are not turning. Amen. I'm sure all of us can testify this. You still have someone in your family, a family member, either nuclear or extended family, whom you are still trusting God that they'll be born again. So it's not easy to get a man born again. So we don't. God doesn't joke with that part either. That's the foundation. The foundation of the righteous, because what shall they do? The foundation of a man is that he's born again. Amen. But now there's another level. Another place. This is the place where a man begins to journey to enter into the kingdom, into light. It also takes prayer. Intercession needs to be done for this second place. All of you are not here without prayer. Men prayed. EGFM Lagos, I know there is a time. I used to be shocked before Believers Convention in Lagos. For 2 months they are praying every day. I should talk back and testify. They are praying every day. I'm asking why. I remember when we did our first Believers Convention here in Edmonton, we too, we had to do that every day. And the onus was so heavy that there are sometimes we will pray, just the four of us, myself, Jeff, Pukumi, Femi, sometimes we will pray from like 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. Every day we're praying because we knew it was a serious business to start something. To break the fountain, break the wall, so that people can begin to come in. Amen. Every day we're praying for like 1 month. We'll call, we'll pray, we'll pray, we'll pray. And we'll just keep praying until we're tired. Sometimes we'll pray. Remember a day we prayed. It was like 2:30 a.m. I was tired of just being in the house praying. So I went outside, walked about my compound. We're just praying. We have to do it. Somebody has to do it. So that men can come into light. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyway, so it's one of these things that is going to continue. Even as we pray. We do prayers every Monday and Friday. We send to the prayer line or whatever. So a few of us still pray. But the intercession is for this thing, for the saints. We want the church. We want the body, we want believers, we want the saints to begin to see light. It's not easy for a man to come into light. Why? Because there are many things that keep us in darkness. That arrest at the thoughts of our minds. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Why do you think the first time people hear about life meetings, for example, is not the first time you hear about it, you say, what is that? You need spirit of wisdom and revelation to see why. Amen. Everybody that encountered this thing for the first time will always have that question in their heart. What is this? Why do I need this? Why this additional? Why? Because we need light to see why. Amen. We need light to see what? To see why. Amen. And this morning we're going to be talking about why. It's a glorious destiny. Praise the name of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, whew, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. What does it say? Who wants to read for us? Chioma, read for us.
Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
That's okay.
In love.
In love. Which version are you? Amen. Do you have King James, please? New King James. Thank you, sir. A You know that first one, what they just put the wood. Amen. Please go ahead. Actually, no, you know what? Before we continue, so that people don't take the why we biased to King James, I want to show you guys a reason why God showed me why about this King James thing. I also look at different versions, so I study NLT as well. But there was a day, I remember I was in BC in class when I was doing my master's. God told me to go to the book of Judges chapter 13, whether to show me something concerning me. But he said I should check King James. But then, you know, then you still have this disobedient spirit. Say, why King James? So, but God is wise. So I had an iPad then. I had my Bible. And I had an iPad. In my iPad, I could only download King James Version offline. But I never wanted to check the other versions online. My internet was not working that minute. So I had to check King James by force. Later on, I still went back to go and check the other versions. And I now saw why. Now, let's go and check it. Judges chapter 5. Chema, you read Judges chapter 5 verse 13. And Tokpe, you read Judges chapter 5 verse 13. And then we'll see the difference. And we'll see whether the same meaning at all. What is making sense? Let's read it. Yes, please.
It says, the remnants of the nobles came down, the people of the Lord came down to me against the mighty.
Okay, talk by radio.
Then he made him the remnants have dominion over the nobles among the people.
Wow.
He made me have dominion over the mighty.
Over the mighty. Now, Chima, try and explain your own. They came down to do what?
To
war against the mighty. What's the use of that? What's the meaning? Now, Tope, see, what was they saying there? To read the on again. The Lord has made me have dominion over the mighty. Amen. So that's what God was speaking to me that day, and he told me I should check with King James. Amen. Because he was speaking a specific word to me that day. But if I had read your version, I would have missed blessing. That's it. I'd have missed blessing. Amen. Now, back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Chop it, read for us again. Before him in love. Now, who is blessed? The God
and the Father
of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed. He is blessed. So when you want to define blessed, you are defining God. God is blessed. Amen. God is blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shantaliya Bahashi. Leave a God is blessed. God is blessed. Let's go to Numbers chapter 6. We'll come back to Ephesians. Verse 22.
And the Lord spake unto me, saying, speak unto your sons, saying, on this wise ye shall be blessed, the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I'll bless them.
Amen. Now, blessing wants to bless you. Huh? Do you see that? Blessing wants to bless you. Now, how did he say we should bless the people, the children of Israel? There are two things: his face and his countenance, person. Amen. So what is the blessing? His person. So God is blessed. And a blessed man is a man who has God. That's it. In heaven, when they want to define who is blessed, that's why when Jesus was ascending, they say seen of angels, justified in the spirit. The angels looked at Jesus. This is blessed. Blessing. They saw the Father. He says, have you been with me so long? Jesus said to Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Meaning you have seen blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. So what made Jesus blessed was that he had the God and Father. Are you with me? Blessing. We're talking about blessing. Now, so we saw clearly in Numbers chapter 6 that God wants to bless us with his face and with his countenance. In Ephesians chapter 1, they are telling you that this blessing is actually God. In fact, you can even tell it from Numbers chapter 6. Because if somebody says, if I come to you, Sam, and say, Sam, I want to bless you with my face and my countenance. What does that mean? What's in my face? Let's just do human anatomy. What's in the face of a human being? What's in the head? Inside the head, the brain. What's inside the brain? The storehouse of knowledge. Meaning all my wisdom, all my knowledge. What's in the eyes? My sight, all my sight, all my vision. What's in the rest of the face? My senses, my ears, everything I hear, all my abilities to see, my eyes. The seven spirits, amen? And what's my countenance, my personality, my behavior? How I think, how I respond to people. How I love, how I give. That's all my countenance. Are you with me? So God says, this is how you will bless my people. You will bless them with all my senses. You will bless them with all my sight. You will bless them with all my wisdom. You will bless them with all my knowledge. You will bless them with all my characters and all my traits and all my personality. Because that is blessing. Amen. Now, they said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. So these blessings are coming to us, right? Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings is God. Because God is spirit. Amen. All spiritual blessings is God, and God is stored in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. And God is where? In Christ. Stored in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. So, all spiritual blessings is where? In heavenly places. Amen. In Christ. Are you with me? So now let's do a little bit more anatomy now. When you got born again, my spirit is where? Seated in heavenly places in Christ. So meaning my spirit has already attained all of this blessing. My spirit is already one with blessing. It says, who is one spirit with the Lord, who is joined with the Lord, is one spirit with whom? With him. So what happens to my spirit? My spirit is ready, one with blessing. Amen. But Ivy, where are you right now? It's not a trick question. But I know you have spiritual mathematics. You can delineate it and then define it. Where are you right now? No, I'm not looking for any specific. Well, where are you right now?
My body is here.
Yes.
Spirit is steady. My soul, my business.
Thank you. That's it. Perfect. 100%. That's exactly it. Amen. My spirit is in heavenly places. My body is here. If you are carnal, your soul is also here. That's what. Amen. But why? So now let me now talk about the journey. So when I get born again, my spirit is in heavenly places, but both my soul and my body are here on earth. Amen. But watch, the blessing is in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. So if my soul is earthly and carnal here, how does it? Earthly and carnal soul here gets to appropriate the blessing that is up there. Amen. Now that is the wisdom. Watch this. Of faith. Faith is the tool that we use to get the blessing there to my soul. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I was telling them in the car this morning that God wants me to talk about blessing and faith. I don't know how I'm going to connect the two, but I'm seeing it now. Praise the name of the Lord. God is merciful. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Anyone can read for us. Actually, start from verse 10, 38. Then to 11 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 10, 38, then to 11 verse 1. We will now begin to see tie faith and soul. Faith and soul. That's what those were. Faith and soul. Are you there? You want to help us read? You're just read this. I'm sorry.
Read for us. Anyone just my soul has no.
Can you start again? Just loud and amen.
Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him.
So now what shall live by faith?
The just.
Now what shall live by faith?
The just.
The just shall live by what? By faith. The just shall live by faith. Now continue. And if anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Who is drawing back? My soul shall have no pleasure in his soul. Who draws back is the soul that draws back. Amen? So if anyone draws back, my what? My soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now continue.
But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.
Believe to what? To the saving of the soul. So salvation of the soul has to do with believing. Amen. Salvation of the soul has to do with believing. Amen. Has to do with believing. Now continue.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for,
Now, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what? Things not seen. Now, many people have used faith wrongly, or should I say, in a lower level. For example, let's say I'm driving my car, my little Ford Focus car, and I drive past an maybe Chioma's car, like an Acura. I look at Chioma's car, I'm like, I want that car. So what do? I now appropriate my faith. You get it? To receive that car. Not so? Amen? Now, do you know that that is, why is that not really high, lower, why is that a lower level of faith? Yes, it's not internal. I want to go based on, let's make it practical, based on that definition right there. What did it say? Can you read the definition for us? Now, faith is what? The evidence of things not seen. Did I not see that car? Do you see it? If I see it, it is seen. So I saw the Acura, and that's why I'm able to believe for it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Not so. I saw the car, so that's what gave me the strength, the energy to believe for it. Or I drive past a house, maybe River Bend. I remember this very dangerous family used to live. Whenever I drive past that area, I see all those houses. I say, my God, one deal. But if I never saw those houses, would I believe God for it? No, I would not. Not so. Now, but real faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what? Not seen. Now, what do they call God? Immortal, invincible, the only wise God. I don't know if I'm beginning to speak now. He says, so real faith is the evidence of things not seen. Real faith is the evidence of God. Real faith is the substance of God hoped for. Amen. As long as I can see it, it hasn't really qualified, met the requirement of faith yet fully. If I can see this chair and I now believe God for this chair. Yes, it's what they call faith towards God. It's a beginner's faith. But raw faith, the faith that God lives by, he who calleth those things that are not as though they are, that is real faith. That's the reason why nobody will be able to scientifically prove that it is God. Because you collect those things that are not as though they are. Real faith maketh God be. Real faith is the substance of things not seen. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So there's no way the man can come to God if he's not believing that he is without seeing him. No man has seen God at any time. Amen. I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, for he that cometh to God must what? Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who what? Diligently seek him. Now, if I seek a chair, what do I get a reward back at? When I believe God for a chair, what do I get? I get a chair. But when I believe God for God, what do I get? I get God. Amen. That's the equation. Thank you. And real faith, the faith which God offered in the New Testament, is for believers to believe God for God. That's when you are now really appropriating the power of God. Amen. Do you know it was by faith? This is what I'm teaching this morning is called resurrection faith. It was by faith that Jesus was raised from the grave. Amen? God did not go and put on white cloth and stethoscope as a doctor and began to walk on Jesus and say, now do it. Pop! Wake up! They didn't do operation in hell. Oh yeah, wake up! God exacted the power of resurrection faith, calling those things that are not as though they are. The substance of things not seen. Jesus was dead and gone. He called him up. Jesus went to his disciples and said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. What kind of manner of man is that? Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. Glory to God. Glory to God. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Do you ever wonder why, whenever God wants to do a new thing on the earth, he always starts from scratch? He will not use the old. You know, there are times that people say, okay, why don't we gather resources? Since God wants to bring forth knowledge of eternal life, why don't we gather all the resources of the existing body of Christ, or existing organizations, and then use it, coagulate it, and then examination eternal life? God doesn't do things that way because that is not his order. It won't be faith. Otherwise, you say, okay, it was there before. It came out of things, you built things by seeing, and then you now gather those. God will always start from scratch. That's God. That's the signature of God. He will always start from nothing. He will start from maybe one man. Just find one stupid boy called James. And then start from that stupid boy. A very stupid and useless boy. So that nobody will be able to take glory for it when the thing comes up. Who knows? I used to be a stammerer. I remember when I was doing my co-op in school then, I was doing the internship, so my professor had to come and they had to do the appraisal of how I'm doing the co-op. I was so afraid that day. My hands were shaking. I was stammering. I remember that day clearly. I look at how I'm talking now. You think I've always been like this? I used to be useless. God has to make sure. God always chases the foolishness things, the worst things, the most hopeless things, and starts raising them from the dust. That's faith, because that's how he does his things. He always does things by faith. Amen. Now, I'm going somewhere. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He that calleth things that are not as though they are. Now, this type of faith which I'm talking about is a knowing kind of faith. Can we say this type of faith is a knowing kind of faith? How do I know? That same Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says that we know that the worlds, what framed the world? The word of God. It took knowledge. This faith is a knowledge faith. Amen. Knowledge faith. Amen. Okay. Yes. Let's. I see I'm teaching today. Okay. Let's connect these dots. Let's go to John chapter 10. For the just shall live by what? Faith. Remember. So, life. If you are going to be righteous or have life, how do you have life? By faith. So, faith, life is life. Amen. Now, let's x-ray this faith life. Now, let's start with John chapter 10. Oh, this is blessing. I love this. Huh. The thief is a stealer. He's a thief. Oh, thank you. He's a thief. Do you know how many people are, how many even believers, faithful saints, who are in darkness? But if you tell them they are in darkness, they'll say you are religious or you are overdoing it. Your own is too much. It's very clear. Did I not show it? It's very clear in Ephesians. Paul was writing to the faithful, to a church, and telling them that, really, you guys are in darkness, so I have to go and pray so that you can come to light. Not so. Very, very simple. Now, let's look at John chapter 10, verse 10. The Bible says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. Praise God. Praise God. How many of us are enjoying this morning? I'm enjoying this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's receive with meekness and grace what God wants to give us this morning. Amen. It's very, very critical. So when these words are coming forth, we need to honor it. It's not me speaking now. Let's just honor the word of God. Let's honor what God is saying. Amen. He says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, right? And that they may have it more abundantly. So clearly, the purpose for Jesus coming was for us to have life and have it more abundantly. Now, 1 John chapter 5. I just want to show three scriptures and I'll talk about what I want to talk about. 1 John chapter 5. So I want to open there. And that means we open to John chapter 17, verse 3. Of, you know, verse 1 to 3. Verse 3 is fine. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And understanding. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. This is what? The true God. Whoa, what are his names? True God and eternal life. And this true God and eternal life came to give us what? Came to give us life. Amen. Now, John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom they have sent. So knowledge, knowing of God, knowing of that wisdom, of that face of God, and that countenance, that personality of God, is actually attaining eternal life. That's the acquisition of eternal life. Amen. And whom is, when you acquire eternal life, what have you just acquired? Christ, the only true God and eternal life. So eternal life is God. Oh my God. Eternal life is not something that they give, or it's not something that they, that, you know, you, like a chair, you can give like that as a gift. Eternal life is a person giving himself as a gift to you. Amen. That's eternal life. A person giving himself as a gift to you. God giving himself as a gift to you. That is eternal life. And that is the blessing. Amen. That is what? The blessing. This is the reason why we have to pray for our brethren. You know? It means if you have not known God, you don't have eternal life. Not so. So, when people wonder, why do we have to do extra? Why I have to do extra is so that I can actually receive the blessing. Now, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. Now look at me. See. So what has happened to man or even the church where the understanding of blessing is what you have gotten from God, as in
car, houses, excellence in whatever you are doing, career, school, ministry, that is many people that know, okay, you are blessed. Am I communicating? Mm-hmm. Whereas the true definition of blessing is to get God, to get the follower. They said the blessing, they didn't call it one of the blessings. You get? So what happened in between? This is where the enlightenment problem is. This is where the God of this world has darkened the minds even of the saints. This is that gap. You know, it's like this is this level, this level. This is the true definition of blessing. Man sees this level as blessing. What's the gap? The space in between, Isaiah 25, they call it the covering cast, the veil that is spread over all the nations. So between the blessing in heavenly places, let's go to Isaiah 25, verse 7. Between the blessing in heavenly places and man who is on earth, carnally, thinking carnal things is blessing. Who is in between? The Bible calls him the covering cast. In that Isaiah 25, verse 7, and the veil. Amen. The Bible calls him the covering cast and the veil that is over nations. Why veil? What is a veil? A veil is one who blinds minds. Not so. A veil is one who keeps a mind in darkness. A veil is one who keeps a mind from seeing beyond down here. How many of you have noticed that even here in Canada, a lot of the time we're so busy driving up and down, how many times at night do you look up to the stars? Why? Because there's so many bright lights on the city here already. Not so. So when we're driving and we have the city lights and the high-rise buildings and the TV screens and everything that's going on in the city, it doesn't, many at times you don't look up. Normally, when I look up, when I go to Northwest Story Place, and in the night, then you now see the bright lights and all the stars in the sky, and then you feel like, okay, yeah, this is wonderful. This is, or in Nigeria, you know, in Nigeria, no NEPA. You don't have choice but to look up. So when there's no light at night, you know, you're tired of burning lanterns, all the whole family will go outside. I don't remember, they start telling stories. Story. But you know, that was good. We did not appreciate those that God is trying to save us. If there's light, God is trying to be watching DSTV in the house. Some of us are rich. Some of us are rich. Praise, you can tell the difference, right? Because when you guys are struggling and the red money came, and you know, all of a sudden, you just, AC, just. It was sweet for you not to. But not knowing that the times when you were struggling and you had to be outside, God was using it to help you. So that you will not go all the way in corruption. What is on DSTV? I remember MTV, Much Music, all those things, it just be corrupting your mind. Corrupting your mind. And a machinery of corruption. When NEPA takes light and we're outside, we have become half time to spend as a family and start doing story, once upon a time. And that's just an aside. Let's go back to the message. Praise the name of the Lord. God is good. God is good. So God wants us to be blessed by receiving Him because He's the one true God and eternal life. And many a times, our saints have missed this. Why? Because they feel blessing. God blesses by. They feel God blesses by what? By giving things. Amen. But things are not blessing. I hope I'm not offending. Things, anything you get on this earth is not a blessing. Let me be honest with you. According to New Testament definition of blessing. Amen. Why? Anything that Anything you get on this earth is only a blessing for your flesh. And it's actually a hindrance to your spiritual growth. Amen. But okay, but God will permit it. If you are strong enough and mature enough to handle it, no problem. You should have dominion over the car, not the car have dominion over you. You should have dominion over the house, not the house have dominion over you. God does not even see it at all as blessing. As long as God is concerned, for a man that is made in his own image and likeness, anything that is earthly, that can be seen, is not blessing. Amen. So, many times we all just think about most of our testimonies.
God, don't butter my ear. Sugar, God has blessed me. I feel so blessed. I'm so grateful. But you have not even started blessing. You haven't even started the journey of blessing. This is a high definition of blessing. So don't go and tell people that you are not blessed. Don't go and offend people.
And say, ah, God just blessed me with a car. I don't even know your heart's not blessed. You're not blessed.
But
you
just told me.
So I'm going to just, no, please, I beg you. Not, it's okay. It's blessed. Let them until their eyes are open. Amen. Or even when you build a massive cathedral for God.
Yes, now we know that the God is of this ministry. I showed up.
But he hasn't shown up yet. When he shows up is when he shows up as knowledge. That's when he has shown up. Amen. That's when God has really shown up. Are you with me? How many of us like that Moses parting of Red Sea experience?
Yes.
Most believers prefer that experience to Jesus Christ just go up on the mountain, sit down with the disciples, no chair, sit down on the floor and start teaching them. He said, Jesus, when will you start passing mountains? We have been waiting for you since, and you call yourself the Son of God? Moses parted Red Sea, Joshua parted River Jordan. Which one would you do? Whereas Jesus, he says, those men would have loved to see my day. So it means that my day brought God. They actually brought veil. Why was everything Moses did? What was it? They said, till today, when Moses is preached, a veil is upon the people of Israel. Why did Moses bring veil? Because they started believing in the sign and wonder more than the God. That's why it's a veil. So when they are teaching knowledge of God, you say, what is it? Okay, show me the sign. How do I know that you are really a prophet? Show me your signs and wonders before I believe you. God is teaching you God, though. They are teaching you God, but in your heart you are disbelieving because you have not seen the associated Moses' sign and wonders. It became a veil for their minds. So when the people of Israel are looking at Jesus, every time they are looking to see when would he do the next sign and the next wonder? When would he part our Red Sea? When is the next time he will walk on water? Do you ever wonder why Jesus only walks on water in the middle of the night when nobody will be looking? He did not want to provide another veil for the people. Amen. Even Jesus' body walking in the flesh, it was only a veil to the 12 apostles that they had to raise Paul. That's why Paul said, know no man after the flesh. The 12 apostles, Peter, all of them, they knew Jesus after the flesh. That's why they couldn't x-ray the mysteries of Christ. But Paul, who did not know Jesus after the flesh, was the man that Jesus chose and says, I will commit my revelation unto you. Meaning my content, the real thing inside. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't know if you are getting me this morning. You know, everything that is so glorious and powerful to you is a veil to something that is more powerful. Amen? So, when a man encounters Jesus, the miracle Jesus, the loving Jesus, the Jesus who the woman with the issue of blood just moved through things and touched the hem of his garment, that Jesus, when you know that Jesus, oh, what a wonderful name. But do you know Jesus, that the thing inside Jesus is greater than that name Jesus, Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
Amen. So we can celebrate and live our whole Christian life around the miracles of Jesus, around the man Jesus, and how wonderful he was, how he healed the blind. And that healing will become a veil for you. Because all you'll be seeing is that wonder, that wonderful man, if I can touch the hem of his garment, not knowing there's something inside that man that you can have that is much more powerful than that issue of blood. Amen. And then moving further, Christ is a veil for God. Amen. Glory to God. So that's the reason why we do not stop journeying. We do not stop journeying. God wants us to come to Him fully. Amen. Or should I continue? I can go away. Yes, thank you. I think our capacity and retention time has been expanded. We can take more. Right? Amen. So, the intention of heaven is to give us the blessing. The blessing. Now, Ellie, thank you for stopping around. Now, everything that we call blessing, amen? I want to show you the veil. Why that thing is a veil. Everything that we call blessing here on earth, house, bigger house, car, nicer car, bigger car, smaller car. Amen? Everything that we call blessing here on earth is just to sustain your flesh. Right? So that you can keep living. And do you know why God allowed it for blessing? So that you can actually sustain your flesh. So that you can now sit down and now receive. That's it. Otherwise, if God... Amen. Otherwise, if the moment you got born again, what would have happened to you if there was no addition, there was no real blessing, there was nothing else?
You just die
and go. Amen. Why would God expose you to all this fleshly lust and fleshly temptation when there's no other reason for you to be on earth? Simple. Immediately, you just see what will happen in the churches. Is that you just have a preacher teaching as people are coming in. I receive Jesus my Lord and Savior. I've done that. So when anybody is tired of living, I say, I don't hustle, man. I just go to church. I just bounce. I receive Jesus my Lord and Savior. I've gone to heaven. But God did not do it that way. Because he knows that we haven't actually received the blessing. There are many people who are in heaven right now with no blessing. I'll tell you the truth. I don't have time to go into it, but it's in the Bible. They are in heaven, but they don't have blessing. They just made heaven. Just sneak in. And go. How do I? Okay, let me just show you simply. Men are going to heaven. So let me just die and go to heaven. Angels are leaving heaven to come to life meetings to hear these things. Amen. Says that angels, they are inquiring. They want to hear of this salvation. They want to hear these things. They are leaving heaven to come and hear these things. We want to just escape out of here and go to heaven. Do you know they don't preach eternal life in heaven? Because who is the world to come for? He says, not unto angels did he commit the world to come. He committed it to men. And men are the ones who are preaching these things. And so the angels are leaving heaven to come and hear these things. Do you know, you won't know how many angels are here right now. Why is it that many meetings, CGFN, just see Michael, just show up with tongues, presence of angels will just show up. Because they are interested in these things. So we shouldn't just be in haste and also go to make it. It's good. It's good. But God has made provision for something better.
God has made it before the foundation of this world that it is man who would receive the blessing, not angels. It is man who will receive God. And that's why your enemy is jealous of you. The one thing he wanted, you are going to get it. Amen. The one thing he wanted, they cast him out for it. But God has ordained it that we will get it. That where he is, we may be also. Hallelujah. God has designed it for us. Amen.
And the only way to get it is to get his knowledge. And his knowledge is being preached right here on earth, not in heaven. There are no preachers in heaven, though. It's here that there's preachers who are teaching the light of knowledge of his face. It's here. Or you don't believe me? Huh? Who is eternal life? Amen? Who is eternal life, praise? God. And what does it say? And this is the promise he has promised us. What? Even a thank you. Even God. Amen? And that how do you get eternal life? That you may know the one true God. Know this person. Know God. Know the God. And know his son Jesus Christ. That is real. That is the blessing. Every other thing is not a blessing. Every other thing is just a sustainer. So don't kill yourself for it. The reason you hustle is so that you can make resources to sustain yourself. It's very simple. Just sustain. Just to sustain the flesh. Let us eat. Let us wear clothes that will not come to meeting naked. We have to wear clothes. Amen. So that we have a place to sleep. So that we have food to eat. Amen. That's all. So when you come in, you are well fed. So I don't have to think about how we have to buy food fed for us. That's the whole purpose of all your, when you pray to God for your needs, that's the whole purpose. It's not so that you can feel blessed, because you are not blessed by having it. God doesn't regard all these men that come with, you know, you come with overblown fine suit and use it as a evidence of blessing. As a glory evidence. God doesn't regard you at all. He's no respecter of persons. In heaven, they don't know you. I want to show you an attitude of Jesus.
Lord God, we've cast out demons in your name. We've done mega things in your name. See the response of a man who has no regard for such things. Away from me, you evil doers. I know you not. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven shall enter into his kingdom. See the response. He didn't even spend time with them. No regard at all. He didn't even try to explain and say, okay, actually, if I had regard for the person, I say, okay, actually, what you were doing was wrong. What you should have done is that you should have been knowing me. Okay, in addition to him, say, away from me. I don't want to see. I don't want to talk to you. I don't know you. No regard for them. God has no regard for that which is not blessing. You spend all your eternal life, all your life on earth, chasing what you thought was blessing but was wrong blessing. But not only were you chasing it, you were now imposing it on others. Instead of them learning blessing, you were pushing them to learn curse. Amen. That's why he called them evildoers.
An evildoer is a man who turns men away from blessing. That's an evildoer. But a man who does what is right is one who turns many to righteousness, to blessing. And that's what we're doing in this place. We're turning each and every one of you to blessing. Every pointer of the message is to point you to God. For he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Point to God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. That is blessing. I want us to leave this place this morning understanding blessing. Your blessing is God. Your blessing is His person, His personality, His wisdom, His knowledge. Your blessing is His face. Your blessing is His countenance. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Have we done something this morning? Have we done something this morning? You see why it's so easy for people to go astray? It's very easy. So easy for people to go astray. So easy. It's very easy for me, and many have gone astray. As we can see, many are going astray. Many are in darkness where they don't even know it. So they need our prayers. We have to pray for them. They don't even know it. They don't even think they need these things. Now, how will I know again that someone is in darkness? By their responses. When blessings of earthly things are being ministered, you will see the joy in their heart. See rejoicing. See jumping. See turn around. See everywhere. The whole place is elated. See the excitement. You can tell out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So does the body also move. See excitement. Whenever, because why? Why is there so much excitement? Because they've just been told that they will get blessing according to what they think blessing is. Everybody, who doesn't like blessing? Everybody loves blessing. But the problem is that what is your definition of blessing? So if you think your blessing is that thing that they are telling you from the pulpit, then what will happen to your soul? Your soul will leap for joy. With excitement, not knowing that you missed the true definition of blessing. So what does a man need? A man needs life to know what real blessing is. So that we can begin to become excited about real blessing. I know all of us here, we are trying, but I know we haven't really got, that's why this message is coming. We are not yet that really excited about blessing yet. If you are that excited about blessing, you see how I wake up every morning on Saturday morning. Most of the morning is the morning I always wake up the earliest. Because of excitement. Right, at 7:05 a.m., 7 a.m. I'm already awake. On my own, I don't use alarm on Saturday morning. Every other day I have to use alarm. It helps me, my soul is excited because I know it's a day of blessing. Rejoicing. You see the hunger that I have, the excitement I have when they are doing ministrations of life, when the reverend is around. Because I know I'm going to be blessed. I know I'm going to be blessed so mightily. So there's excitement and joy. Amen. We will get there in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I know we are not there yet. God is helping us. Right?
So a lot of the times we still feel that this work is a burden. Oh, I just have to do it. It's good. But where we now, but still, our excitement level for knowledge has not yet matched our excitement level for things. Let's be honest. It hasn't matched it yet. We know it. So it means that help still needs to come to our heart. If we can be that excited about that which is not blessing, how much more the real thing? You see what the enemy has done to man? That even when the real thing comes, they treat it with levity. They say, what does he want to say again? What I want to say again is more blessing. That's what I want to say again. So we should be excited. Every day, when we are coming to hear more blessing. Even if I want to just regurgitate the blessing of last week, it's still better than not hearing blessing at all. Amen.
Amen.
It's still better than not hearing blessing at all. For this is blessing. Life, when ministration of life is coming to us by the revelation of the knowledge of God, that is true blessing, that is God. That's when we're receiving our inheritance. Praise the name of the Lord. And I can assure you, when you begin to receive this blessing, a time will come where when you look at all the other glories of this world, all the other so-called things that they call blessing, you just look at them and just go, okay, that's cool. You know? When Hazija, you know, some of the other people are with me, they're so excited that they're able to get to China, and people will be looking at me, you know, when they see a black man, they go, who brought this one here? How did they even get here? This is great. They looked at it as one great privilege to be here and see all these things. Yeah. I'm just taking it. I said, oh no, we have to go. Did you see the picture? Did you see the colors? Did you see the light? Did you see that screen? I like, I have to take picture.
Praise the name of the Lord. So sometimes I start feeling maybe these people think I don't appreciate.
Glory to God. I've risen higher above it. It's nothing to me. It's not a blessing at all. It's just, and this thing shall be added unto you. That's all it is. Blessing is the kingdom of God. Can we begin to appreciate God this morning? Let's just thank God. Let's thank Him for blessing us this morning. We are blessed in this place. The Lord is visiting us with blessing. The Lord is blessing us in this house. Yes, yea, I have blessed you. Yea, I am blessing you. Yea, I am blessing you. Yea, blessing is coming upon you. Yea, for you have honored me, I am blessing you. For you have honored me, I am blessing you. I am blessing you with true definitions of blessing. Yea, I know in time past you've had incorrect thoughts of blessing and you've been disappointed. I held it back because that is not real blessing. I want you to see my real blessing. When you see my real blessing, you will appreciate what I am giving you. For I am giving you me. I am giving you me, saith the Lord. I am giving you me. Don't you want me? I am more than sufficient. I am the Ancient of Days. I am the one who has lived from eternity past to eternity to come. Yes, that is real blessing. When you have me, you have eternity past. When you have me, you have the eternities to come. When you have me, you will never die. When you have me, you will never pass. When you have me, you will never go lacking. When you have me, you are blessed. You are blessed when you have me, saith the Lord. You are blessed indeed, because you are blessed. Because I have blessed you. I have made you even higher than the heavens by reason of this blessing. I am making you higher than the heavens by reason of this blessing. You see, yea, even the heavens are not blessed. Yea, even the earth is not blessed. Anything I created that can pass away is not blessed. For I am blessed. I am the one who lives beyond the heavens. I am the one who lives before the heavens. You see, I am before the heavens. I will be after the heavens. And because I am before and I am after, I am blessing. I am the definition of blessing. Come and receive blessing. Receive me and receive blessing. For I am blessing. I am blessing you in this house, saith God. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. I want us to just appreciate God from the bottom of our hearts for what God is doing for us here. Anything that becomes sin that has been made is no longer blessing. Blessing are eternal things. God is delivering unto us that which will not pass away. Substances of Himself. Substances of things hoped for of Himself. Evidences of Himself. These are things that last. These are things that are durable. These are things, by the evidence of His eternity living, is evidence that this is true blessing. Because God has been durable. God was durable before the world began. God has been durable throughout the existence of the heavens and the earth. And God is still durable. He's still alive today. And He has just begun. That is real blessing. That is true blessing. You are blessed. God will bless us in this house. God will continue to bless us in this place. God will continue to encourage our hearts. God will continue to lift us up. God will continue to bless us. Thank you, my Father, for blessing us. We give you all the praise and all the adoration. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed.
You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth.